Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back to another Sunday night of Max and Friends. And you know, I haven't said this in a long time, but good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you are in this world of ours. Wow, what a weekend. You know what? I know that they say never be silent on the radio, but I just want to take a moment and just be silent for this world, for Paris, for Beirut, for all over, for people in pain, for people suffering, for people who are sad. I'm going to be still and just know right now that let's just be still. Whew, all right. Well, we got that energy out the way, so we're just sending our love all over the world. You know what? It's not a I am Paris, I'm Beirut. You remember that song, We Are the World? Well, that's what we should be playing tonight here on Max and Friends. We are the world. And once we have that realization that, yes, indeed, we all together collectively are the world, that's when love will take over. That's when there'll be peace. So I just hope that you all just love one another, right? All right, well, we've got a crazy fun show tonight. So much has happened. We've got a wonderful guest joining us in just a moment, Rutanya Alda. Y'all know her from Mommy Dearest. But we also have Rolanda Watts joining us later with her new book, Destiny Lingers. Oh, and Rutanya's book, by the way, is amazing because it's the Mommy Dearest Diary. We're going to talk about that here tonight on Max and Friends. We're also going to talk to Rolanda Watts, to Hunter Cross. We've got Hot Topics. My auntie Moira died. You know, she was like today the most incredible woman. Circus owner all throughout Italy. So for those who are tuning in from Italy, yes, later on in the show, we're going to have a tribute to Auntie Moira. Also, we have an amazing clip from when Jackie Collins was on Max and Friends. So we've got a lot going on here tonight. But right now, we've got some clips. So let's hit it because you all stay tuned. I got to say hi real quick to Stephen Geo Ford. Thank you all for tuning in. And if you're tuning in for the first time on LATalkRadio.com, I have a note here. Please get the LA Talk Radio app. It's free, and you could take me to bed with you every Sunday night on Max and Friends. But as of right now, here's some clips that will get you stimulated. Hit it.
No war! Hangers! What's wire hangers doing in this closet when I told you no wire hangers ever?
I fought worse monsters than you for years in Hollywood. I know how to win the hard way.
Miss Martin, we don't want any hard feelings.
You don't know what hard feelings are. I come out against your product and you'll see how much you sell.
Please, Miss Crawford. Hardly necessary to make threats you surely don't mean.
Don't fuck with me, fellas! This ain't my first time at the rodeo. You forget the press I delivered to Pepsi was my power. I can use it any way I want. It's a sword. Cuts both ways.
LA Talk Radio, this is
indeed, this is Max and Friends, and indeed, that was Mommy Dearest. Well, Rutanya Alda has acted in film, television, and theater for almost 50 years. She is also the only Latvian-born actress, to her knowledge, to have been honored by being voted into the Academy of Motion Pictures and Science. Now, we've got a lot to talk about, so welcome my guest, Rutanya Alda. Welcome to Max and Friends.
Hello, Max. It's so nice to be conversing with you. I'm always looking forward to it all day.
Yes, likewise. And, you know, we have this Baltic connection that I think we should just talk about at the top of the show. You're from Latvia. My mom is Lithuanian. So we have a bond right there with this Baltic blood.
Yes, we do. It's very close. Also, it's the closest in language of any of those countries. The Latvian and Lithuanian language is very close.
Now, there's so you have got an amazing career in just like you have so many notches in your belt. Out of all of those notches, which is one that really is one that you're most fond and proud of?
Well, you know, there's two. Mommy Dearest, of course, is my favorite in the sense that it's the cult movie that has grown in terms of size and popularity in the last 30-some years, which was totally a delightful surprise. I mean, when we made the movie and the movie opened, I never dreamed that it would be bigger now than it was then, because people have really bonded with it in so many ways. They know all the lines. They come to the events. I just did an event on Halloween with Head of Lettuce at the Bowtie Cinema in New York, and we sold out. People were like, you know, it's a great audience. First of all, with Hedda, it's a fun audience, and it's funny and lively, and my friend's wife had never been, and so she came, and she just was amazed at how wonderful it was and how much she enjoyed it. So it has a life of its own, which I think no other, I mean, I did a movie called The Deer Hunter, which won the Academy Award, and I'm very proud of it. It's a wonderful film, but it doesn't have the kind of life that Mommy Dearest has now. And
exactly.
So I'm proud to be in this movie. I mean, I think it's wonderful to be in a cult film.
It is wonderful. And you know what? Let's just, Ronnie, I just sent you a message. Let's play that real quick again. Hit it.
What's wire hangers doing in this closet when I told you no wire hangers ever?
Does that, like, haunt you at night, Rutanya?
Makes me laugh. I mean, it really does make me laugh, and I've got to confess, I did confess once before, David Koons, who was one of the producers of the film and who was married to Christina Crawford at the time, they were very generous at hosting me on a number of occasions in their home, and one day, I just couldn't resist it. I don't do this, I swear, I don't look at people's stuff at all. I'm very, very honorable about that, but I couldn't resist it. I went to Christina's closet, and I opened it up, I peeked in, and it was nothing but wire hangers. There it is. Now I know.
You know, that was one of my questions. Does Christina have wire hangers? But you know,
she
you
does.
And now the name, I love Caroline. Like, does this follow you to this day, Caroline?
Yes, it does. And you know what? The amazing thing is, people know the lines better than I do. I said, oh my gosh, I did say that line. You're right. And so it's kind of amazing that's happened. And I said, you know this movie. People know all the lines, not just not my lines, but they know all the lines. Barbara's lines, of course, Faye's lines, Christina's lines. I mean, they're, and some of those lines are really wonderful. You think about
it. They are like epic lines, and not
they
like
are
epic lines. But you know how many spoofs have been made off of Mommy Dearest is like off Broadway shows. Especially in Fort Lauderdale, there's been so many. They're fabulous. But let's talk about you, Carol Ann. Rutanya Alda is joining me. If you're tuning in for the first time, we've got a great guest tonight, Rutanya Alda from Mommy Dearest, author of The Mommy Dearest Diaries. Now, let's go back to the movie. How did you get this part?
Well, I didn't know at the time because my agent called me to set up a meeting with Frank Perry, the director in New York. But it was Frankie Blonds who, the producer, at the end of the movie said, well, I really asked them to see you because I'd worked with a couple of movies he'd done before. So it was really Frankie Blonds, the producer, that had recommended me. And then when I met Frank Perry on a very cold winter night in New York, and my hands were freezing as I walked in, I'm thinking, oh, and he shook my hand. I thought, oh my God, he was warm because he was a nice warm apartment. I said, I hope this isn't a bad sign to have cold hands, you know. But I had a 30-minute interview with him. This was in the 80s, early 80s, you know, in the 70s and 80s when I made a lot of films. People, the directors were there to meet you, which they're not, I haven't, you know, they don't do that anymore for some reason. I don't know why. But they were to meet you and greet you and talk with you. And Frank Perry cast me basically out of my 30-minute conversation that I had with him. I didn't read. I didn't audition. But that's the way it was. When I did a film with Kazan, Ely Kazan, when I did a movie with Michael Cimino, when I did a movie with Brian De Palma and other directors, they never auditioned you. It was like they had a feeling about you, and they just cast you. And it was a different time, different era, but they sensed if you were right or not, and they sensed that they wanted to work with you. And I know Frank and I talked about different aspects of Carol Ann, and I said something to him, and his eyes lit up, because I said, I think I understand what it's like to love someone unconditionally, and you justify everything they do. And that's sort of that ultimate, it's not just the ultimate fan, it's the ultimate people that we all want in our lives. Wouldn't we all want a Carol Ann that no matter what you do, that you are still going to be loved? I mean, it's sort of the
How
ultimate
true.
Dream.
And you know what I love? I love, like, to have a secretary with two names, Carol Ann. It's like, that's the best part, because Carol would have been so boring, but it's like the Carol Ann. Like, you need that second name. But I have a question. Why did you look so old in that film?
Well, I was really younger than Faye when we did the film, but when I first went on this set, we had one of these wonderful pre-production things, which I've never experienced before, where we had like two or three weeks to do makeup and hair tests, and the costumes were personally designed for Faye by Irene Sheriff and custom made. So there was a lot of pre-production that went in. It was wonderful to have that experience. So when they were doing my first makeup test with my makeup artist, who had worked with the real Joan Crawford before, Charlie Schramm, and who had worked actually going way back with Judy Garland in Wizard of Oz, he had come out of retirement to work on this film. And so our first makeup thing, you know, I kind of did the period, the 30s look, and Frank Perry, the director, came in and said, oh, Tanya, he said, you've got to look a little worse. You've got to tone it down, he said to the makeup guy. And so we toned it down. We made it a little worse. Came back a second time, said, no, it's got to be, you can't look this good. You've got to look, you know, worse. Mm-hmm. Came back a third time and said, now, Tanya, if you look this good, Faye will have you fired, and there's nothing that I can do about it. Ooh. So I said to Charlie Schramm, make it, please make me look really bad, because I don't want to be fired. I don't want to be fired. Please, I want to do this job. So he grayed my complexion and put these little bags under my eyes, and he put a little tip on the end of my nose, which when you have that tip on the end of your nose, it kind of lowers your face. You look older, because he'd made a lot of prosthetics on my face, so the tip on the nose was ready to go, and then that was fine. You know, that was fine. Then I just kept gradually getting worse looking and worse looking and worse looking.
Right. Well, no, you just, you know, Faye is Faye. But we are getting the scoop here tonight on the Mommy Dearest set. And this is all in the book, The Mommy Dearest Diaries by Tanya Alda. Y'all can get it on Amazon.com right now. But let's talk about the set. Is there anything vividly that you remember about being on the Mommy Dearest set?
Well, what struck me was, except for the exteriors, the whole set was built on a stage. I mean, like a house. Mm-hmm. In other words, you went up the stairs, and there were the bedrooms, there was the shower, there was her dressing room, there was the kids' rooms. So everything was like a house. And I've never experienced that before or since. Because usually it's in pieces, you know, you got the bedroom here, and then 100 feet down, you got the... But this was all built as a house, and Frank Yablons, the producer, wanted us to have that feel of that house. So when I walked into that set, of course, the first thing you notice is that staircase. It's like to die for.
What was the set?
It was on Paramount. It was at the Paramount Studios on a stage. The whole stage was the Mommy Dearest thing, but the whole house was built into that stage. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the living room. So I just kept going around touching things and in my imagination.
Did you take anything from set?
I didn't take anything, darn it.
Now, if you could, what would you have taken?
Probably just something small that I would have carried, you know, a little statue or a little asterisk. The staircase. staircase is what I would have loved, but who would have put it there? You know, nobody knows.
Now, what was supposed to be the address of the house?
It was supposed to be somewhere in Beverly Hills. The exteriors were two different houses. Like, the exterior when I drive in the car is one house in Beverly Hills, and the house with the pool is a house off of Beverly Glen.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's sort of, when you look at Joan Crawford's Real House, mm-hmm. it doesn't really look like that. And of course her Real House has been redone, but it doesn't really look like that, but it sort of gives you an idea of the driveway and everything. It does have that driveway.
The elegance, right, of it all.
Very elegant. Her house was very, she was a very elegant woman. She had very elegant taste.
Oh yeah. Well, speaking of Joan Crawford, did you ever get to meet her?
I did meet her. Actually, I met her twice. I met, when I first came to America, in the early 50s, we landed in a place called Flagstaff, Arizona, because at that time when you landed as an immigrant, you had to be sponsored and you had to have a job, because you couldn't be on the dole, so to speak. You that was one of the requirements, that you had to work until you got your citizenship papers 5 years later. And so we were in a town called Flagstaff, Arizona, and we drove down one weekend to Sedona, which is only about 25 miles down the hill. And Sedona at the time was like a little one-horse town. Now it's a very big, you know, center of the arts and stuff. But at the time, it was a one-horse town, and they were shooting Johnny Guitar. And so she was there. In fact, in my book, I have a little picture of her from Johnny Guitar, taken with my Brownie box camera. And you know, I was new to the world. I mean, I'd seen movies before, but I didn't know who was a star and who wasn't a star. So I saw her, and the time I was kind of shy, so I didn't really talk to her. But she seemed, you know, friendly enough to the fans, and she was there. She was available. People were taking pictures of her like I was. Not too many people, I must say. At that time, it was like a small group. The second time I actually met her and shook her hand was when I was working with Roman Polanski. I was standing in a photo double for Mia Farrow, and so we were doing a shoot down in the Village where the theater that played the Fantastics was playing, and so Mia was late. She was hardly ever late. She was always on time, very professional. But this one time she was late, and Roman was very anxious about losing time on the shoot. So he said, "Well, put on her coat, which is a white coat," and he said, "I'll just shoot the back of you going into the theater, because in the theater scene, Joan Crawford and Van Johnson are there, and Mia's character says to her girlfriend, 'Oh, there's Joan Crawford and Van Johnson,' and it's a little bit part. So Roman shoots me from the back going into the theater, and I'm standing there until he gets the next set up, and Joan Crawford comes over to me and says, 'Hello, I'm Joan Crawford.' And of course I took a deep breath. No, like, oh my God, you know what I'm going to say? And then it occurred to me, I said, I bet she thinks, and of course I said, hello, yes, thank you, so happy to meet you. And then I bet she thinks I'm Mia Farrow, because I'm standing there in Mia's coat and Roman is shooting me, and I bet she thinks I'm Mia. And I didn't know what else to say, because I didn't want to say to her, I'm just your photo double here. But
there's more than just the Mommy Dearest memories, Ritania.
yes. Well, I start the whole intro chapter is sort of my coming to America and my experience then. And then my early years in New York with all these people I worked with, like Roman Polanski and Barbara Streisand and other people, you know, in my early career, what I did before I landed my first actual part with Brian De Palma, and in a movie that I starred with Robert De Niro called Greetings, and a follow-up movie with Robert De Niro called Hi Mom, which were two comedies, black comedies. In fact, Greetings won the Berlin Film Festival Silver Bear Award. It was like Brian De Palma started out doing comedy, believe it or not, and very funny, very unusual black comedy. Greetings is the ultimate 60s movie, really, if you ever see it. And So that's sort of how I started out, and so that's in the first part of my book.
Now, why did you decide to do the Mommy Dearest Diaries? What was it that made you say, you know what, now is the time to release this memoir, this book?
Well, the first, I got a couple inklings. Well, first of all, I guess it's whatever it is. I thought nobody would be interested in my memories of Mommy Dearest. I mean, who am I? I'm just this actress.
You're Caroline!
And then my first inkling was 3 years ago when I did a show with Hedda Lettuce at the Ziegfeld. And I had mentioned my diary, and people were interested. And you really have a diary? What does it say? What is it? The second time, which was my big awakening, was at the Castro Theater in San Francisco. Mark Huestis was producing this Mother's Day event with Mommy Dearest, and I was the guest, and I sold out the whole theater, which is like 1,600 seats. And I read from portions of my diary, and this huge wave of love just came at me from the audience. I mean, they laughed and they loved it, and it almost took my breath away. I was so moved. I thought, oh my God, people are really interested. They really care about my experience in this movie. And so that was my turning point. I said, okay, you know what? I've got this diary. People are interested. Let me just make it into a book, because it is the only real time account of what happened during those 4 months of shooting. And it goes day by day by day, which some of it is kind of boring, and some of it is funny, and some of it is not glamorous, some of it is glamorous, and some of it is interesting and exciting. And it's sort of, what is it like to work on this movie? And it answers a lot of questions. People have a lot of questions about this or
that. They have tons of questions. But you know what? Hold that thought, because everyone, if you're tuning in for the first time tonight on LA Talk Radio, you're listening to Hit It.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. My guest right now is Rutanya Alda from the movie Mommy Dearest. The book that she has written is The Mommy Dearest Diaries. It's available on Amazon.com right now. Let's talk about some intense times of being on this set of Mommy Dearest. Were they more intense with Faye Dunaway or... Do you think they would be more intense with Joan Crawford?
Hello?
Hi, we're here.
Okay, I thought I didn't hear you for a minute. Sorry. They were the most intense when Faye was on the set, of course, because we never knew when she would arrive. The hours were floating along, and we didn't know what. And in fact, early on, it was very intense because the whole movie got suspended for a few days, and we thought the movie wasn't going to go on. And
now, the movie got suspended because didn't someone get injured?
No, the movie got suspended is because Faye Dunaway wanted her boyfriend Terry O'Neill made a producer.
Mm-hmm.
And Frankie Blonds was pissed as heck about it. He was, this is a challenge, his authority. He was the producer, the ex-president of Paramount. He was a big producer. And for a while he thought of just canceling the whole project. We thought we were all going to just go home. But I think they had so much money poured into this at this point with the sets, with the costumes, with everything, that he decided, he capitulated and said, okay, your boyfriend can be the producer also. So, well, even though he did absolutely no producing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it started out. So it was shaky from the beginning. And then the first week when they were shooting on the beach and everything, that the makeup and the hair people said that she was like 6 or 7 hours late, and it took them forever to do that beach scene because they were all in after the first week, they were already like a week behind. So, and so when I did my very first scene, which was without Faye, when I tell little Christina O'Mara Hobel that Joan has to audition for Mildred Pierce and how shameful it is for her to audition at this point in her career, After the shot, I saw Frank Perry there, and he had like tears in his eyes. And I said, "What? You know, thinking, you know." He said, "No." He said, "We're trying. It was wonderful." He said, "This is the first real moment I've had in this movie." So that was another thing. You think, why? They've been shooting for a week. Why was this the first real moment I've had? But you know, Frank was a very sweet man, but he lost control of that movie early on. You know, it was. The whole movie was in Faye's control.
In right, Faye's so. Corner. Now, did you and Faye ever had any exchanges on set?
No. You know what? I learned my first day on the set with Faye was actually the Mildred Pierce scene where she slaps me. But right from the beginning, she upstaged me. And it was an old stage trick. You know, when you do theater, there's those actors that upstage you, make you turn your back to the audience so they can be front and center. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, she's doing the old stage, upstage trick. And I thought, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I have no power. Frank Perry is totally, if I go to him, there's nothing he can do about it, so why bother going to him? Why bother saying anything? So I said, okay, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to help her upstage me. So the whole day we shot, I just shot with my back right to the camera. So then she sort of relaxed, knowing that I wasn't going in there trying to get my little face in there. I said, you know what? There's nothing I can do about it. So then we got to the slapping thing, and then she slapped me. I mean, she slapped me hard.
Oh, she really did slap you.
She did slap me. And so the second time she slapped me, my face had those little red marks on it, and Frank Perry, that's the first time he said, and he said, you can't do that, you can't slap her that hard, you can't do that, because she's going to really show on her face, you know. So then, you know, she didn't. She sort of did, but she didn't do it as hard. So, and then we had that was our first disagreement, was she went to Frank, and she said, Ritania should be reading it like Anne Blythe. And I said, well, wait a minute. Carol Ann is not an actress. Carol Ann wouldn't be reading it like Anne Blythe. First of all, we don't know that Anne Blythe has been cast at this point. Also, when you have a person reading with you that is not an actor, they don't read that well. I mean, they don't read like, so I try to read it like a person, a secretary would or helper would read her, read the line. So that was my first, I really couldn't get, on my second one was when, in a scene that was cut out when Faye wanted me to get angry with her and say to yell at her or something, and I said to Frank and Faye, I said, look, first of all, I've studied my character very hard. I've gone over it. I've worked on it. Carol Ann would never yell at Joan. And also, when one person is upset or angry, the other person who has an inferior position, because I work for her, would not be angry. You try to calm them down. You try to calm that upset person down. So I just refused to yell at. Of course, that scene got cut.
Well, I want to talk to you about cut scenes. What are some other scenes that you think should have stayed in the movie that got cut?
Well, you know, there's a number of scenes. There's a wonderful scene, probably my best scene, when Diana Scarwood, the older Christina, brings the award back to the house that she's accepted, and I'm sitting there. And with her knitting, knitting together. And first of all, Faye tried to eliminate me from the scene. But since this scene was shot close to the end of the shoot, Frank Perry finally stood up for me and said, no, I want Carol Ann in this scene. I want her in the scene. And Faye said, I don't think she belongs here. And Frank said, yes, I do. And it was a very lovely, very touching scene about the daughter bringing the award back, and really is probably my best scene in the whole film, and that got cut.
Do you have that clip?
No, we didn't get any clips. We couldn't
That's
get clips
shame.
From the film. Yeah, it's too
That's
bad.
That's a shame. Well, you know, I've got to ask you the question, because we just got a tweet, and someone said, if Faye slapped you now, what would you do?
Well, no one out of the movie said anymore, and I don't have to hold my tongue, and I don't have to be worried about being fired.
You'll show her what a DP camp of survivors is all about.
Yeah, exactly. Not kidding.
Right. But, you know, now, is Faye writing a book? Do you have any info on that?
You know, well, yes, she is writing a book because, and how do I know she's writing a book? Because she called me earlier this year and wanted me to fly out and help her write her book with her ghostwriter.
Oh, how convenient.
Of course,
she called you, did she say, Carol Ann, I need you to come?
No, you know what? She actually contacted my agent, is what she did. And
how
she
with
two urgent emails saying, this is urgent, this is time sensitive, yada, yada. So I said, well, find out what she wants, because I haven't heard from her for 30 years. And what she wanted was me to fly out and help her write her book for no money and a little credit somewhere in the footnotes. So I thought, first of all, that was kind of a jaw-dropping moment.
So did you get a one-way ticket?
Right, exactly, one-way ticket, and then get stranded there in L.A. How do I get back? But secondly, you know, God bless her, let her write her own book. And if she can't remember, I did say to the agents, tell her, if she can't remember the timeline of stuff, buy my book, it has the timeline, and she can refer back to, you know, whatever. But then she was caught in Larry Edmonds' bookshop in Hollywood buying a copy of Mommy Dearest's script.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, she go buy the Mommy Dearest diary.
And now she can buy. See, she already has the script, so buy the diary. They'll give you an idea of what happened, and then she can make up her own stuff about it.
So that's basically, fun. In the end, Carol Ann wins.
Yeah.
Right? Forget
Thank
Mommy Dearest.
You. Thank you. Thank you, Max.
Listen, whoever gets the book published first wins, right?
Well, I think so, and you know, I absolutely think so. It's out there for, and this is in real time, and Faye's will be in real time memory. So, right. You know, I'm sure she'll have interesting things to say, and I'm sure it's going to be everybody else's fault, except.
Of course.
You know,
now, are there any other Mommy Dearest diaries out there that you know about?
No, nobody else kept one.
Except for you.
Except for me.
Tanya Alda, the Mommy Dearest Diary. Go get it now on Amazon.com. We could talk forever about this, but then, you know, we've got to give them a chance to read the book so people can really see what happened on set, on scene of Mommy Dearest. Rutanya Alda, we've got so much to talk about, but so little time. You're going to have to come back and hang out on Max and Friends again.
Oh, I'd love to. You're just wonderful. And you're my Lithuanian cousin.
Yes, the Baltic blood. But before I let you go, I know there's a great animal welfare charity that your friend runs, so tell us about it.
You know, I have, it's in Los Angeles, preciouspaws.org, and Georgiana rescues, she's practically a one-woman rescue operation, but she's so wonderful, and you can go on preciouspaws.org. She's located in Los Angeles, and she can use a lot of help. They're always low on food money for all the little babies, and, yeah. You know, there's always a shortage of food, so preciouspaws.org, and just, you know, no amount is too small. If you think you only have a buck to give, you know what? That's a lot.
Give it. Yeah, give it. But you know what? Before I let you go, are you a New Yorker or are you an LA-er?
I'm a New Yorker who does go to LA.
That's it. We leave it at New Yorker. That's all we have to say.
Yeah, yeah.
And before I really let you go, can you just give us some wisdom that you live by every day? Inspire the listeners.
You know what? I get up every day now, and I'm in gratitude. I say, thank you, God, for this day. Thank you that I woke up, that I'm alive, and I try to do an act of kindness when I go out, you know, to do something kind. I mean, just a smile or let somebody crowd in line in front of me if they're in a hurry or something that will be in harmony with the universe, so to speak. So I try to live my life that way. And you know, what I like to do also is to have some silent moments just to kind of connect with myself and just say, just be in gratitude. I think gratitude is one of the most powerful things you can do. And I'm talking about gratitude for little things like hot water.
Exactly.
A nice cup of tea, a cat to pet, you know. I mean, just the small things that we can be grateful for. The fact that I can walk down the street and I see other people walking with canes or walkers, and I'm thinking, oh, thank you, God, that I can walk. Thank you for the strength of my body. I mean, it's like mini prayers all day long, I think.
It is. And you know what I always say? The biggest prayer is thank you.
Yes.
It really is. Well, I have to say thank you to you, Rutanya Alda, for being on Max and Friends here on LA Talk Radio. You're going to come back because we're having too much fun.
And oh, I love know it. That
everyone's going to want to know more tea. So spill the tea, have the fun, the Mommy Dearest tea. Go buy the book, everyone, The Mommy Dearest Diary. Caroline, thank you so much for being
thank
on the show tonight.
Thank you so much, Max.
I'll talk to you after the show. Have a good night.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye, good night. The reason why I'm rushing you all, I love you all for staying here and tuning in, because Rolanda Watts is coming up and time I'm seeing is slipping away. It's an illusion. But right now we need some peace and Rolanda Watts on Max and Friends. Hit it. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back. And if you're tuning in for the first time, welcome to the show. Destiny lingers, doesn't it? Or doesn't it? Or doesn't it? I think it does. But what I know for sure is that that was the song Peace from Sabrina Johnson. That's what we need in this world, is just some peace, some love, and some understanding that destiny lingers. And why am I saying destiny lingers? Well, because you all know how much I love my Auntie Rolanda Watts. Well, she's here, she's back, and before I bring her on, I just want to play a clip in memory and in love of Auntie Joan Collins. I'm Auntie Jackie Collins. Ooh, did I just do a slip? We live. Hit it.
So good to talk to you again.
I know it's been years, and in fact, it was almost 20 years ago when you came on the Rolanda Show set, and I confess, you were the first person I told that I want to write a novel, and you told me if I wrote a page a day in 365 days, I would have that novel.
And I hope you've done that.
I've done it. We're picking out the cover. That's why I'm here at Barnes & Noble, just studying covers of romance novels. And it will be out. Destiny Lingers will be out in August. And in addendum to that, Jackie, I finished the novel.
You finished the novel, Auntie Ro. Welcome back to Max
and Friends. I finished the novel. It was October, not August, but we did it.
You did it. But you know what? Destiny lingers, doesn't it?
Yes. What do they say? Time moves on, but destiny lingers. Absolutely.
Wasn't that such a beautiful moment with Jackie telling her that this is something that you were inspired by her?
Well, you know, Sonia, I think it's so important that, you know, if we have the opportunity to be able to go back and tell the people who inspired us so much what they meant to us in our lives. And Max, thanks to you, I got a chance to say thank you to a mentor of mine. You know, Jackie Collins, Maya Angelou, who did the blurb for the book. These women were very instrumental in just being inspiration. You know,
but
to get
so
this
are you. But
through.
Auntie Ro, so are you. You are honestly, you know I love you and I'm not here to bullshit. You are so inspirational. What you do, like you are like on the grind 24/7, doing your thing, writing your book, doing the radio show. You know, we live life every day and you just live it to like do your thing. You're like, what I love about you is you're going to die empty because you do everything. Right?
It's gonna, you're right. My tombstone is going to say all used up.
That's the good way to go. But I want to talk to you about Destiny Lingers because the book is out now and then we can talk about life in general. But tell us about this book that really is from the heart.
Yeah, you know what? I actually, believe it or not, I survived a hurricane situation back in the mid-90s. I had a beach house right on the beach in Topsail Island, North Carolina. And I was one of the 11 stubborn people who refused to leave the island. This island is very special to me because my grandparents, back in 1948, were one of the old settlers of the first black community, a beachfront community in the state of North Carolina. Before that, you know, blacks couldn't even walk on the beach without getting arrested or killed. And this island, you know, I didn't want to leave. It would hit the hurricane hit on my birthday. To make a long story short, for 3 days I ate at the Red Cross. I couldn't leave the house without police escort. I met the police chief, who was the same age as me. We had known the same fishing holes. We had known the same piers and, you know, crabbing places. And I looked at him and I said, well, why don't we know each other? Mm-hmm. And then it dawned on us both that segregation had kept us apart. That we were friends now because law said we could be. And then I started thinking, what if there was a story where these two star-crossed lovers met when they were kids, but the laws of segregation kept them apart. Time moves on, but destiny lingers. They're thrown back on the island because of some of life's challenges, and they re-meet each other at a time where they're free to love. And it begs the question, what would you do at a second chance at your first love?
So what
and
would you
like
do?
I said,
what
time moves
do?
On. But listen, a lot of people I ask that to, they're like, honey, I never want to see my first love again. No,
what would you do, Rolanda Watts? What would you do?
Well, I think, you know, if I go back to high school days, I made the right choice. But I also think if I had been more mature, some of the first loves that I had might have made nice husbands. You know, they say that you can meet tons of people that might be the perfect person for you, but it has to be the right timing.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, so many times in life, we don't get a second chance. But what if you did? What would
you
do?
What if you did? Well, we have the chance right now to go right now and buy the book, Destiny Lingers, The Laws That Kept Them Apart Could Never Separate Their Love. A heartbroken journalist embarks on a journey of self-discovery where she must overcome her personal pain and find tranquility before she can realize true love. Now, you know what I think. I love the cover because that boy is hot, that girl is hot, and you know their babies are going to be hot, okay?
I know. Listen, I think the cover is just beautiful. I'm so excited about that cover. If you go to iUniverse.com, and Max, this is a special offer for your listeners a special offer for your listeners because we're not going to really do the huge launch and go on a big book tour in March. But I wanted to be able to say thank you to your listeners, to my listeners on RolandaOnDemand.com, and give an early bird special, you might say. If you go to iUniverse.com and go into the bookstore and you'll see early releases, there are new releases, you're going to be able to get your copy now before the rest of the folks so you could say you were among the first. So please go do that. And please, you know, they make great holiday gifts too and stocking stuffers.
Yeah, you could stuff that stocking with Destiny Lingers 266 pages.
That's right.
Love.
36 chapters, 90,000 some words, and every single one of them is mine. But you know, it also deals with the not only race relations and second loves, but also the woman. She's an investigative reporter in New York City. She's
is this you, Rolanda? Is this
you? Yeah, there's a lot of... You know, what was so exciting was this genre of fiction is called creative nonfiction. So it means that you can take fiction, or you can take nonfiction and elaborate on it and make it, you know, what you want. So, yes, there is a lot of truth in the story. I did negotiate a hostage situation when I was a New York City news reporter. Mm-hmm. It didn't end the way it ends in the book. But I took some creative license to make it exciting. But most of the things are really based on some truth, overcoming an affair that your husband had on you, you know, a deceptive girlfriend, and all of this leading to some real, you know, depression and thoughts of suicide, and then going to get your head together and re-meeting your first love, getting a second chance at life. So I think a lot of feelings people can really relate to.
Mm-hmm. Now, who was your first love?
My first love ever was a boy named Keith Byrd. And he had the biggest afro in Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
All right.
I was madly in love with him at 12. And Max, I remember one day he came to my house and he had hickeys all around his neck.
Uh-oh.
I was like, what happened? He was like, well, I was mowing the lawn and hit a beehive and the bees came and stung me around my neck. And dumb bee, I believed him.
And what was the bee's name?
I think I was in love with Keith for a very long time. In fact, we did a little reunion thing, bringing back our first loves back when I did the Rolanda show. You can go on YouTube and probably see that one.
All right, well, now listen, because I know when you had the Rolanda show, there was a very special man by the name of James Brown who wanted to marry you.
I was about to say, there were a few.
James Brown
was sure asked me to marry him. It's like, where are these guys at? Where's all that attention now?
Well, it wasn't part of their destiny, I'll tell you that much.
Right, listen, destiny's still lingering on the love department.
All right, so now who do you got your eye on now, Auntie Ro?
Well, you know, I'm doing the dating thing, you
okay.
know.
You are.
We'll see. Nothing serious, but
you're
I am
also,
dating, which is exciting.
You're also in the HSN thing, aren't you?
I'm doing what?
We see you on TV all the time now.
I don't know why I just said HSN. Couple of commercials.
So you need to get ready for a home shopping network, whatever that was about.
I know. Wouldn't that be nice? I got to come up with something to sell. Something
you got a lot
delicious.
To sell. You got a lot to sell. But we see you all over the place. You've got your radio show. What's going on now with the show, and who do you have coming up on your show?
Oh, my goodness. We've got that crazy Wendell James coming up. You know Wendell from OWN TV's Kim Whitley show, Raising Whitley. And Wendell's going to come on and share. You know, what you may not know about Crazy Wendell is Wendell is actually an excellent cook. His food is unbelievable. And he will throw a party and we'll go and just sit cross-legged and eat. And so I said, come on and share some recipes and talk about the new season that's coming up. But we've also did a big show on cheating. I did an interview with Miss Patty, Sweet Potato Pie LaBelle.
Girl.
Isn't that amazing?
But you've been blessed.
I know. Oh, honey. Listen, I'm like, where's the Walmart in L.A.? Anybody know?
But did you hear? You know, we were going to do Hot Topics, but I'd just rather talk to you about Destiny Lingers. But real quick about the patty pie. Someone put out now that, like, something 264 people died from the patty pie because there was venom in it.
What?
It's a gag.
Oh, my God.
But you know,
everybody, there's a hater in every crowd, isn't there?
And you know what? That patty pie is off the hook.
I bet it is. I'm just going to take it and rub it on my butt because it's going there anyway. Just save
but
it
you
a
know,
trip.
Speaking of, you can cook too, Auntie Ro. I've seen
yes,
your
I
meals.
Can.
I've seen your meals on Instagram. Speaking of, how can people follow you?
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram and Pinterest and YouTube at Rolanda Watts, that's R-O-L-O-N-D-A, and then on Facebook at the Rolanda fan page. I also have a Rolanda On Demand page if you want to go over there and join that community. But also, follow my podcast over at CBS's new Play.it digital media platform. You can go to RolandaOnDemand.com. And like I say, I've got a plethora of archives there. Maya Angelou's, one of my last interviews with her. You've got some good business advice with people like Jeffrey Hazlett from Bloomberg TV talking about branding. There's just some real inspirational stuff from Kim Douglas from The Ellen Show and Kim Coles talking about gratitude and bliss. There's psychics there. There's all kinds of juicy stuff. So go on, and as you're listening to Max and Friends, go on and listen to Rolanda On Demand, too.
Yes, and get the book Destiny Lingers because it's on special right now for you to stuff your stockings with.
That's right. And you know what? It really is a good read. I hope you'll enjoy it. I'm so proud to say that I won iUniverse's the highest honor, and that is the Editor's Choice Award, which says it's of literary value. It's not just chick lit. It's good literature. And there's a good marketing plan for it. So we're going to be coming all around the country, picking about a dozen really strong cities where we've got some good readership. And starting in the spring, we're going to hit the road and go out here talking about Destiny Lingers all over the place. And I think in this time when there's so much strife and there's so many people who are hating on each other all around the world, I want this story to stand that love overcomes hate every single time. And like time moves on, but the destiny that love brings us, that lingers forever and ever. So I hope to bring hope to the readers, and it'll be great before you hop on that plane to go see Grandma this holiday. Read me on the plane, on the train, and I hope you miss your subway stop.
Right, and then you can leave the book there, too, when you're done.
That's right. Pass it on. Absolutely. Yeah,
let the destiny linger. Let it linger, right?
Let it linger, honey. Pass it on.
Do you believe in fate?
Oh, no question. No question. I believe in fate. And I believe that our gifts really drag us to where we have to go. And I also want to say to anybody listening who is like, God, this is only inspiring me to get on that book. This is the hardest thing I think I have ever done. Y'all seen I've done a lot of different things, but this is really tough. But my Auntie Maya Angelou kept saying, don't die with your story still in you. And if you have a story to tell, because all of us have a story to tell, that story may help humanity in some way. It may help answer a question that somebody's desperately seeking. And your life matters. All lives matter, but your stories matter too. And I would say that if you're even thinking about it, tell your story. And I'm going to tell you something else. When my book arrived in the mail, Max, I burst into tears. I had to go Periscope. Follow me on Periscope, too. No telling what will happen. But because I knew my life had changed, that now I'm a novelist, not just a journalist and all that other stuff, but a novelist. And that was a lifelong dream. And so I'm really excited about that. And I'm also encouraging you that if you have a story, you know, we can't depend on outside forces to help us all the time, Max, when we're trying to find new careers and reinvent ourselves. Our gifts are within us, and you can look within yourself and find so much to use to help enrich your life and the lives of others.
Absolutely. And what I always say is follow your passion because it will lead to your purpose, and your life is big, people. So please keep reaching, keep loving, get the book Destiny Lingers, get the other book too, the Mommy Dearest Diaries. We spilled the tea on that movie tonight here on Max and Friends. Bro, you should have Rutanya Alda on your show because she got all the tea on Mommy Dearest and Faye Dunaway.
Oh, that sounds okay. So juicy. We will have to do that because I want to know myself.
Right? But you know what? We got to wrap this show up. Speaking about wrapping things up, y'all, play safe. Wrap it up, okay? But on the real, I love you all for listening. I really do. And the only courage you ever need is the courage to live the life you want. Take that into this week. Love one another. Don't worry about what you see on TV. Don't worry about what you hear all over the place. Just know that if you want to be the difference, you have the capability to be it. And that's by opening your heart and loving one another. To my Aunt Moira, we're going to play your song right now. When you did your circus, girl, I love you. Now I got another person watching over me, so I just think that's all fun. Rolanda, I love that you're an author, that you're a radio host, that you are a TV host, that you are an actress, that you are divine. But most importantly, I love that you're my friend, and I'm grateful.
Thank you. And guess what, Max? I'm also the new warrior priestess, Ilawi, on League of Legends for you gamers out there.
Girl, you coming back on the show? We're going to talk about it next time on Max and Friends.
Yeah, go on YouTube. They're talking all about it. Look up the new character on League of Legends. That's your Auntie Ro.
That's my Auntie Ro. So thank you, Rolanda Watts. Thank you, Rutanya Alda. And now, Moira Ofri. I love you all for listening. Take life to the max. Good night and good karma. Bye.
Bye.
Fumatori, trapezisti con il loro calore, ti fanno. ating buwan at circo tutu.